بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر قل فيهما إثم كبير ومنافع للناس وإثمهما أكبر من نفعهما صدق الله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته I think if I were to ask you if there was anyone here who did not like to win, I don't think there would be anyone who would say that. So we all like to win, and nobody likes to lose in everything that we do. I've had the opportunity to hand out prizes at events, and most of the time, the happiness on the face of the winners is very apparent. You can see it by their reaction when they find out that they've won. You can identify that the person is a winner just by simply how they're behaving, even if the prize happens to be a relatively small prize. Now, so the idea of winning something of value without any or with very little effort is very appealing for people, for all of us. So that's why businesses and events use, you know, things like contests and draws and giveaways for marketing purposes to get people to come in and buy and attend the event. And for example, that's why radio stations also hold contests and so on. Of course, Tim Hortons has Roll Up the Rim to Win going on right now. And most of us, I think, are pretty excited when we finish our cup of coffee, right? So we can roll up that rim and see if we've won that Toyota RAV4 or any of those other prizes that they have, right? So this desire to win with no effort or with very little effort is also what drives the gambling industry. So that's why we see casinos and we find people lining up for lottery tickets, especially before a major draw, major jackpot, Powerball, whatever terms they use. That's why we have slot machines that exist. That's why people gamble online and more now. And that's why people bet with one another. Now, it seems to be seemingly an appealing option, right? Because you can win with no effort on your part, you just have to spend a bit of money. But on the flip side, the disadvantage is huge. And that is that there's uncertainty. You're uncertain about whether you'll get something. You could win, you could lose. And it all depends on what we call luck. Now, it would be foolish for us or for anyone to think that the odds are 50-50, that you could win or you could lose. No, the odds are never 50-50, right? The odds are always against those who are gambling or who are participating, always. So if you read the terms of the contest, so if you, for example, the Roll Up the Rim to Win contest or any other contest, and you read the terms and conditions, you actually, for the most of the time, you'll be able to find out what the odds are. It's like 1 in 14 million, 1 in 10 million, you know, 5 in whatever, 200,000. So the odds are very, very low. And when we talk about gambling, the odds are always in favor of the people who are running the gambling establishment or the program. It's never in favor of the players. Gambling, from an Islamic point of view, is any transaction. It's important to understand this definition so that we can figure things out and we can apply it when we come across different situations, different types of activities. So gambling is any transaction in which a person may win or lose, and the person does not know whether he will be or she will be a winner or a loser. So it's a transaction. You get into the transaction in which you may win or you may lose, and when you are making that transaction, you don't know whether you're going to win or lose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Creator, who is of course, Al-Alim, Al-Hakim, who is the all-knowing, who is the all-wise, the most wise, knows precisely what is best for us as individuals, and He knows what is best for us in terms of our communities, because He is the one who has created us. And since Allah Azza wa Jal is the most merciful, He has not left us in the dark regarding the things which could be harmful for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after having created us, could have left us in the dark with regard to the most harmful things for us, and we would never know. And we would never find out, and you know, until we were actually immersed in it, and then we started seeing and experiencing the fallout and the harms. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being the most merciful, has from before warned us and told us about the things and the activities which can be harmful for us and for our societies. So out of His mercy, He has given us clear guidelines regarding gambling in the Qur'an, along with the guidance on alcohol. So in the beginning, in the first verse that mentions gambling, mentions both alcohol and gambling. And we mentioned this a few weeks back when we talked about drugs and alcohol. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ ومنافع للناس وإثمهما أكبر من نفعهما. So Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ, they ask you about wine and gambling. So say, what should the reply be? Say, in both there is a great sin, إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ, and some benefits for people as well, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a balanced approach. He says, yes, there are some benefits, but the sin is great. وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا, and their sin is greater than their benefit. Right? So there is some benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. So for example, for the person who actually wins the lottery, or who beats the odds and he does win some money, or she wins some money, at least temporarily there is some profit or some apparent benefit which comes out of that. Now here in Ontario, gambling for the most part, and across the country, is controlled and managed by the provinces. Right? And the lottery commissions generate billions of dollars in revenue, right? We're talking about $3 billion a year, and that money, some of that money at least, is used for various things. So, used for hospitals, used for healthcare, used for education, and other needs. So, there is some benefit. But Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is telling us that this practice is so problematic that not only is it a sin, but it is ithmun kabir. It's a huge sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He makes something prohibited and makes it a sin, and especially when He's saying it's a huge sin, is because there is some harm in it that He, in His wisdom and His knowledge, He knows, and therefore He has made it such a big deal that so that the human beings understand that they are not to go towards it because it will bring great harm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us more of the background regarding of this practice, and He mentions other practices as well, and in it, alcohol and or wine is mentioned as well, where He says, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, innama al-khamru wal-maisiru wal-ansabu wal-azlamu rijsum min amali shaytan." The intoxicants and gambling and the worshipping of stones and the divination by arrows, because people would, you know, back in the days would throw arrows to decide which choice they should make, and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these are all impure, and they are all of shaitan's handiwork, right? These are ideas, concepts that shaitan came up with to misguide people, to mislead people, to cause people trouble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Refrain from such things, from such abominations, so that you may be successful, so that you may prosper. So if you think that all of these things, and if you think that gambling will give you success, will solve your problems, will give you, you know, respite during your financial difficulties, it will give you prosperity, then you are dead wrong. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Right? Stay away from them so that you may be successful, so that you may prosper. So if you want prosperity and if you want success, it is not going to come through gambling. Then Allah goes on and says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. The shaitan wishes, so why did shaitan do this? Why did he come up with this idea? Shaitan wishes only to plant enmity and malice between you. Shaitan wishes only to plant enmity and malice between you through alcohol and gambling, and to prevent you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from prayer, from salah. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ Would you then abstain? Allah is saying, you know, don't you understand? I'm explaining to you, shaitan is the one who made all of these things. This is what he's trying to achieve. This is what the trouble he wants you in. So then, aren't you going to understand? Aren't you going to abstain? And subhanAllah, when we just see the list of the issues, the problems that are associated with problem gambling, or the issues that are associated with problem gambling, according to the Problem Gambling Institute of Ontario. So there's an organization called the Problem Gambling Institute of Ontario. So it's such a problem that we actually need an institute to study it and to speak out against it. Right? And when we look at this list and some of these problems that are arising and that the people are experiencing because of problem gambling, right, we find that they all have to do with strained relations. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what? Shaitan wishes only to plant enmity and malice between you. Right, through these things. And when we look at these lists of problems, they all have to do with strained relations with other people, and especially family members, the ones we should be the closest with. Right. So for example, money problems. So when family members learn that their savings or their property and their belongings have been lost and have been used by a member of the family for gambling because it has become an addiction, then it can make them feel scared, angry, and betrayed. So you have a problem in the relationship. Emotional problems and isolation. Right, and I got all of this from the Problem Gambling Institute of Ontario. Right, emotional problems in isolation. Right, so gambling problems cause strong feelings among family members, which make it harder to solve the problems. Right, increases enmity among people. Physical and mental health. The stress of gambling problems sometimes causes health problems for both the person who gambles, but also for the family as well. And this can include anxiety, this can include depression, and stress-related problems such as poor sleep, ulcers, bowel problems, headaches, and muscle pains. SubhanAllah. Burnout, right? Many families under stress have trouble coping, right? So if one person is out of the picture because he or she is addicted to gambling and has become dysfunctional, then increases the stress on the other members of the family. Impact on children. When a parent or a caregiver has a gambling problem, then children can feel forgotten and depressed and angry. Physical and emotional abuse even. So gambling problems can lead to physical, emotional abuse of a partner, of an elder parent, or a child. Right? So this is such a serious matter. Right? And again, that was all from the Problem Gambling Institute of Ontario. Now this is such a serious matter that the Prophet ﷺ has said, مَنْ قَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ تَعَالْ أُقَامِرْكَ فَلْيَتَصَدَّقْ Prophet ﷺ said that whoever called his companion, called a friend, called a companion to gamble, should give in charity. Whoever called, he's not even talking about actually gambling. Whoever called his companion to gamble should give in charity. So it's not even committing the actual action. Right? The actual action of gambling was not committed. But even calling a friend, a partner, someone to gamble warrants some form of charity, because in it itself is a prohibited act to invite someone to come towards sin and to come and gamble. Now we know locally that most of us probably know that there is a casino in Gananoque, and the provincial government is restructuring the sector. The provincial government controls all of these things where there's a lot of money to be made, right? Gambling, alcohol, right? Cigarette taxes, all these things. So anyway, so the provincial government is restructuring the sector and is actually stepping away from running casinos, which seems like a good thing. But there will be private operators now. So the government won't be actually running the casinos. There will be private operators. And the revenue from these casinos will be split between the province, the city where the casino is hosted, and between the private operator of the casino. Now, Kingston and Gananoque have been put together into one zone. So the government has divided the province into different zones, and each zone is allowed to have one casino. So there will be one casino in this area, and the city of Kingston has applied to host that casino. Okay, so there's this, if you've been following the news lately, locally, there's this battle going on between the mayor and other people and council and so on regarding this issue, because it's pitting one city against another. Gananoque already has a casino, they want to keep that. Thousand Islands leaves, they have a casino, they don't want to give it up because for jobs or whatever, and then Kingston might be thinking about getting it as well, so there's some tension there. So there has been an intense debate recently, and some people have been calling for a referendum, because the city council has opened up the floor for proposals to come in for a private casino in Kingston. So some people have been saying that there should be a referendum on the issue, and the public health department, the public health unit, actually prepared a report for city staff, which was made public. And if you read through that report, so what they've done is they've compiled the different research regarding casinos and regarding gambling in communities and what sort of effect it has. And it was, if you read that report, the harms become even more apparent. So what I'm doing now is I'm taking quotes from that report. Quote, mental illness and substance abuse rates are typically higher in problem and pathological gamblers than in the general population. Okay, so the people who are problem gamblers and pathological gamblers, they have higher rates of mental illness and substance abuse. That's not necessarily because they became like that because of gambling, but they had, and most of the time, they had these issues, and they were attracted towards gambling. Quote, some studies have also reported higher suicide and suicide attempt rates among gamblers. End quote. Another quote, there is a growing body of literature supporting the hypothesis that the prevalence of problem and pathological gamblers in the general population increases with access to gambling opportunities. Okay? So what that suggests is that if we have a casino close by, then the number of problem and pathological gamblers in the city will also increase. Quote, the rate of problem gambling among those with substance issues increases with the introduction of a new casino. So people who are already struggling with substance abuse, who are struggling with drugs or alcohol abuse, the rate of problem gambling within that demographic also increases with the introduction of a new casino. In Minnesota, between 1990 and 1994, the legalization of lottery and a large increase in the number of casinos had this effect, resulted in an increase in the rate of pathological and problem gambling from 2.5% to 4.4%. Okay, now we may be thinking, okay, these are small numbers. We're talking about statistically 2.5%, 4% of the population, even if they're problem gamblers, who really cares? But if a casino is opened and we assume a similar increase in pathological and problem gambling, we are potentially looking at 1,000, 2,000 people in our city who have gambling problems. Many of those could already be grappling with mental illnesses and substance abuse and alcohol dependence, so this would make matters even worse. And they're at a higher risk of suicides as well. And with a considerable student population in the city, with Queens and RMC and St. Lawrence College, in a small city where there's not much to do, unfortunately, this also has the potential of becoming a problem for students as well, because the report also states, quote, a study of Ontario University students found a statistically significant difference between the number of problem gamblers at universities closer to a casino than to universities further from a casino. Okay, so if there's a casino in the city and you have a large student population, most chances are that problem gambling will, the problematic gamblers, the number of problematic or pathological gamblers at university would also increase. So these are the potential risks of having a casino open right here in Kingston. And on the other side, the proponents will say that there are potential financial benefits as well. Jobs, tourism, this and that. So this is something to reflect upon. That, and for all citizens of Kingston, for all of us and everyone within the city, that which should have the priority? Because when we talk about 1,000 people or 2,000 people who may be affected, we're actually talking about 1,000, 2,000 families, right? These are not just statistics. We're talking about actual people that could be affected by problem gambling. Families which will suffer, children who will suffer. Increased demands on health services, mental health services, and other programs. So we're not just talking about statistics and just about dollars and figures here, right? We're talking about actual people. So this is something to reflect upon. And along with many other citizens, I kindly encourage our mayor and our council to take all of this into consideration. Because this is a great city. As Kingstonians, we love our city, and there's a lot of good things here. And that's why we are here, and we are enjoying and contributing to the greatness of the city. But we want to make it better. We all want to make it better. We don't want to take it in the wrong direction by making the wrong decisions. And if not, if council and the mayor are not ready to reconsider the decision, then at the very least, I would again kindly encourage them to at least hold a referendum, because many other Kingstonians have similar concerns as well. So if they want to go ahead with it anyway, let's hold a referendum and see what the citizens have to say. I'd also encourage all of us to contact your councillor, contact the mayor, and express the concerns in a respectful manner. Now, there's a lot more I could talk about with regards to the injunctions regarding gambling and how it affects our daily activities. For example, rolling up the rim to win, right? Tim Hortons, if you win, is it okay to actually, permissible Islamically, to actually take in that prize? How are, other things, other games and bingo and different types of activities that people do? How do the Islamic rulings and injunctions regarding gambling affect all of those things? Because they do affect some of them, at least. So inshallah, we'll be talking about that tonight. So we'll have a session of the Pulse this evening after Isha. Isha's at 7:40. So you're all invited, and inshallah, we'll have that discussion then. So the lesson for us, of course, is that we must be aware of the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We must try our best to protect ourselves from falling into the trap that shaitan has set up. Educate our children about these things and have these discussions with them. Because many, I was looking at the studies, a number of students, grade 7 to 12, high school students, have reported gambling as well. So this is something to have a discussion about. And if it is a problem, please do seek help. We talk about these things and you're thinking, well, which Muslim would gamble? Believe me, right? Muslims are human beings. So we have these issues going on in our lives, except most people don't know about them. So if that is the case, please do seek help. And I strongly encourage you to do that, because continuing it, thinking that you can redeem yourself and all the losses that you've made, and just continuing to going forward is not going to lead to prosperity. It never will. So seek help, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you, inshallah. May Allah protect our community and our city from that which is harmful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our leaders to make the correct decisions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, protect our families from all of the things that he has prohibited and which are harmful for us. Ameen wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillah.